Hello and welcome to another episode of the County Cricket Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron, aka the Cricket Connoisseur, and on my left, as always, is my Lancastrian co-host, Joe Nutsy Nuttall. So, Joe, mate, how's your day been so far?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Just been, I've literally put it on not too long ago, the South Africa-Pakistan ODI. I didn't even realise it was happening, I'll be honest. Not really anything spectacular happening in the game, so... Yeah, as I said, I've not been watching it. This is just my view from like 5-10 minutes. So, yeah, I mean, it's a one-day game, so anything can happen in modern-day cricket, but we'll see. But yeah, I'm all good.
That's good to hear, Joe. But, I mean, with that game, and it has been an interesting one, South Africa got off to an absolutely riveting start, then lost three quick wickets, I think four quick wickets, actually. Lost Klaassen as well. And then, yeah, now they're rebuilding with Miller and van der Dusen. But, yeah, Joe, glad to hear you're doing well, mate. And, of course, yeah. Sounds like you're in a good mood for today's podcast. Always nice.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But also joining us for today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast, I think as soon as we hear his voice, everybody will recognise him in the county cricket community. We are joined by none other than Cricket AM former host, Matt Floyd. So, Matt, first things first, thank you very much for joining us here on the podcast today. How's your day been so far?
Hello, guys. Absolute pleasure. Thanks for the build-up. I mean, I'm not sure my voice is that recognisable, but...
Oh, it is.
But I'll take it. I'll take what you said. It's very nice. I'm okay. Yeah, I'm not too bad at all. I'm just sort of gearing up for a couple of different things that are coming up. You know, we've got the county season, obviously, starting next week, as you guys well know. The IPL starts next Friday. So I'm doing a couple of podcasts and bits and bobs for that. And yeah, you can really feel like summer is almost upon us, feeling a lot more positive about life.
Oh, yes, same here. And of course, we're all allowed back into our respective cricket nets as well. I know I'm going down later today for the fourth session of the week. I've been absolutely obsessed. Yeah, I know. The shoulder is just full of deep heat at the moment. It is in a lot of pain, but you plough through it. I mean, the weather's not meant to be too nice next week, so get it all out of the way this week. But yes, Matt, I think start today's podcast. Let's go right back to the origin of the Matt Floyd cricketing journey, then the tale of your journey to Cricket AM. What's your first ever memory of cricket, either playing or watching the game?
Oh, wow. So it was a long time ago. Let me think. I suppose my first memories of playing it would probably be in my back garden, because my dad, he was a bit of a cricket nut. He actually sort of laid a really basic kind of concrete net in the back garden. It was about half an acre, because it didn't have much space for anything else, and put up this ramshackle netting around it. And it was, I remember it was really bouncy because it was concrete. And my dad, when I was probably about 7-8 years old, he used to chuck me wind balls and then cricket balls on this concrete net. And that's my first memory of hitting the ball. I think I broke a couple of windows a couple of times. I seem to remember as I got a bit older and I could hit the ball a bit further, I hit it back towards the house. That's my earliest memories. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, a very nice early memory, I suppose. I mean, I can't really relate to that. Yeah. I'm going to be honest, having a net in the garden. Joe, what about yourself, mate? What's your first ever memory of cricket?
Don't know. Just went down to my local club, really. Started playing there, and obviously then became interested in it, really. Not really. It's pretty standard. Pretty standard stuff. Unlike Matt, who's, as you said, got a pretty unique journey, really. I don't know many people who had a net in the garden, so... Yeah, that's pretty good.
I say it was a net. It was basically just my dad laid some concrete because he worked in construction, and it was about not even half the size of a normal net. But he put some nets up. You know, he made a really good effort, and I guess that's where I got the bug from playing. And then after that, he took me down to my local club when I was 9, and I've been a member of that club ever since. I've been a member for over 30 years at that club.
Wow, is that Hampstead? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Hampstead in the Middlesex League. Great club. We need more players. If anyone's listening to this and fancies having a hit and lives in the area, come down.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Anyone in the Hampstead area, get down to Hampstead Cricket Club, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the right one.
Yeah, exactly. It's in West Hampstead, but it's called Hampstead Cricket Club.
Well, there we go. For any of the listeners, go down there and have a hit. But Matt, in those early days, you mentioned there your dad was obviously a massive influence there. Absolute cricket badger. Produced that net for you. I mean, that is such a wonderful story. But who in the world of cricket itself doesn't necessarily have to be county cricket, but any international cricketers, any famous cricketers really looked up to per se that you tried to emulate or were your role models in those early days?
Oh, yeah, probably quite a few, actually. But the one who sticks in my mind was probably Mark Ramprakash. I remember when I was young, I mean, I was a Middlesex Colts and a Middlesex fan and all of that. And Ramps was the new, young, super talented, graceful batsman who burst onto the scene in the, must have been early 90s. And I'm half Indian, half English. He's of similar background. He's actually Indian, West Indian background, but he's got a kind of Indian sounding name. So I used to always look up to him, you know, for that reason, as well as I just loved watching him bat. And I always remember going, he was my hero growing up. He was only a few years older than me, but he'd always seem to get to sort of the 20s for England and then get out. And I used to want him to succeed so desperately, and I'd be so upset when he got out. He could never just quite get beyond the 20s and make a big score. He made a couple of test centuries, I think, in the end, but he never quite fulfilled his potential. And I'll always remember one of my first games ever watched live was Middlesex against the touring Australians in 1992, I think it was. And I turned up really excited to see Ramps play and see the Australians, and he got a duck.
Oh,
I seem to remember. He almost like ducked a ball from Craig McDermott and hit him on the pad, and he was plumb. He didn't pick it up. He thought it was a bouncer, ducked it, and was given out LBW. Really anticlimactic, I'm afraid.
Oh, that is a shame.
That's unfortunate. Yeah, that is unfortunate, isn't it? See, yeah. You hear him get a duck like that, especially like that. You know, the dismissal that you've just described to me just sounds so unlucky.
Well, that's what it seemed like to me as a, you know, 12-year-old in the
crowd. Yeah, yeah.
I was side on, but he ducked it and then was given that LBW. A bit weird.
Yeah. Sounds a bit like David Payne's dismissal in 2015. I know it wasn't a bounce, so that was a full toss when he ducked it, and it just hit him on the pad in the Roland.
No idea what you're talking about, but I'll take your word for it.
Any Gloucestershire fans, they'll know exactly what we're talking about, and of course David, who former guest here on the podcast. But yeah. Matt, you mentioned there Middlesex, obviously a massive, massive influence. Guessing you're still a Middlesex fan to this day.
Yeah. Still a fan, still do a bit of commentary for them sometimes, T20 Blast and the odd four-day game. Go down and watch whenever I can. So, yeah, still a fan, but I'm totally impartial, of course, like as you guys are whenever I'm talking about county cricket.
Yeah, I mean, we can't really say the exact same. I mean, there is a lot of Warwickshire and Lancashire tinges in here. But, Matt, who do you say is your favourite ever Middlesex player? I'm guessing Mark Ramprakash is up there, but any others that really stand out to you over the course of your journey as a Middlesex fan?
Yeah, Ramps would be my number one. I was lucky enough to see Desmond Haynes at the end of his career when he was playing for Middlesex. That was really exciting. Mm-hmm. I remember that pretty well, actually, sitting with a lot of West Indian fans in the stands at Lord's, and they were all going crazy supporting Haynes. That really sticks in my memory. Who else? Yeah, I mean, I like all the old war horses like Gus Fraser and John Embry and Phil Tufnell. That era was a real golden era for Middlesex. And then they went through, you know, quite a sort of tough few years before eventually coming back into it again and winning the county championship back in 2016 and ironically under Fraser. But yeah, that era, I really enjoyed that era of the 90s with Gatting as well. Really successful era for Middlesex and some real characters. Got to play with a couple of them. Paul Weeks from that era, he played at my club for a while, so I've kind of played with him and heard a lot of the stories about Tufnell and various other people. So, yeah, quite a few, but Rams would be number one.
Fair enough. I mean, obviously, Mark Ramprakash, what a player. And yeah, revered around Middlesex County Cricket Club, and, of course, Surrey as well, Ramps. But, yeah, what a player.
Yeah, absolute class. And you know, you mentioned a bit earlier, Matt, if only he'd gone on almost and got those runs for England, he could have genuinely been a test great, because he really had that potential. It's such a shame, but I mean, he's a county great. You know, let's not...
Without doubt.
Look past that. 100%.
He's a Surrey and Middlesex and county legend. I mean, I don't think we'll see another person scoring 100 first-class centuries again, to be honest with you, because they just don't play enough cricket these days in terms of first-class cricket. Someone could maybe do it off the back of playing a hell of a lot of test cricket. But again, even that, you know, with the advent of T20 and so much cricket nowadays, I just can't see it happening. It's such an extraordinary achievement to have the longevity. And someone like him, I mean, he was still playing club cricket, Rabs, 2 years ago, 3 years ago in the Middlesex League. He was playing for Stanmore. I played against him, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. And I was just shocked at the hunger that he still had to play. He just loves batting, loves scoring runs, loves competitive situations. You know, I mean, if someone like him, if I was someone like him, there's no way I'd be playing club cricket into my mid-40s. You'd have thought he'd have done enough in the game and, you know, wouldn't want to turn up and get sledged by dibbly-dobbly 70-mile-an-hour bowlers in club cricket. But he did. He was so keen to keep playing the game.
Well, I mean, that to me shows good resilience, to be fair. You know, that's pretty, that's really good to see. As we said, like a legend still playing and fair play to him, to be fair. Fair play to him. So let's talk then a little bit about Cricket AM. I guess we kind of have to chat about this. I know Aaron is very excited to talk about this. I mean, for those, firstly, who don't really know what Cricket AM is or are not really aware of it, we'll just give a little overview of what it was.
Yeah, so Cricket AM was a show that was on Saturday mornings for Sky. When Sky got the cricket rights, when was that? Oh, 2006 or 7 or something like that. One of the stipulations that the ECB wanted was to have a cricket show which was similar to Soccer AM, which was their flagship Saturday morning magazine football show. It was a sort of football and entertainment show, bit of music involved, and you know, it was sort of in between the two, I'd say, sport and entertainment. And the idea was you'd get footballers on, musicians and celebrities who liked football. And so the ECB wanted to have a similar thing for cricket. So Sky started up exactly that. They called it Cricket AM, pretty much the same format. It had the same titles, music. You'd have a male and a female presenter on a couch, and each week you'd get three guests on or something like that. There'd be a mixture of cricketers and celebrities, although with cricket it's a bit harder to find celebrities to come on these shows, whereas with football there are loads of them you can choose from. So sometimes it would just be all cricketers on the sofa, and you'd basically chew the fat and talk about cricket, and wouldn't just be technical analysis or anything like that. It'd be mostly irreverent stories and messing around. And you'd have a live audience there, and you'd have a team of the week each week that would come and sit in this sort of pavilion that we constructed. And they would basically be the voice and the cheerleaders of the show. And they'd sing songs and get involved. And they really sort of added that live element to it. And then you'd have various features, and it was a lot of fun, a lot of fun. Saturday mornings from 9 till 10:30 in the morning live. And I did it for about 5 or 6 years, I think. Myself and Sarah Jane Mee were the last presenting pair on it before it got discontinued. But yeah, happy times.
Oh, yeah. And what a show. What a show. Honestly, for cricket badgers, cricket fans in general, it was a fun show. It's as simple as that. Like Soccer AM for football fans. It's just one of those things that you get up in the morning, have a little watch, and yeah, just kind of fills the appetite, per se, for cricket in the morning. But Matt, I suppose I have to ask, how did you actually find out you're going to be hosting the first place on Cricket AM? Because you took over from Simon Thomas, wasn't it? He was the original one in 2006. How did you actually go about finding the role? How did the role come about in the first place?
Yeah, that's right. I'm just trying to remember actually how it all happened. I think Simon Thomas eventually ended up moving over to football and doing a lot more football and particularly live games. He kind of went down that route. So he moved away from cricket. And plus, he didn't really do any other cricket apart from Cricket AM. He was more of a sort of all-rounder, whereas I was very much a cricket person. And I'd just started presenting live international cricket, I think maybe in about 2008 or something like that. So I'd just been doing that for a few months. The overnights is what I started on, because I was inexperienced and young, and that was a good place to put me because I could make mistakes and there were only about two men and a dog watching. So I used to do, you know, Australia against the West Indies from Australia, middle of the night, Bangladesh against Zimbabwe, that sort of thing. So showed that I could present and do it. And then I was a bit surprised, I think, because having only done that for a few months, Simon Thomas was then moving on. They had the option of finding a new presenter and bringing them in. But seeing as I was already there and I wanted to be a full-time cricket presenter, they gave me a shot. So they said, how do you fancy doing this Saturday morning show? And I must say, I was very nervous because I hadn't done much live presenting up until that point. So I was a little bit out of my depth. But thankfully, Sarah J and me was very experienced and very personable. And we got on really well. So she kind of got me through the first year. And then I'd got a bit more presenting experience under my belt from doing all the live cricket I was doing in the winters. And I think by the second season, I was feeling a lot more comfortable about it.
It's quite a nice journey into cricket AM then, I suppose. And I'm also glad to hear that you and Sarah Jane had that nice, well, chemistry on set as well. I suppose at least you actually got on. It wasn't just all for the show, per se.
We got on great. I think she gets on with everyone, to be honest with you. She's just a very lovely person and easy to work with. And she really helped me out early on. That was one of the saddest things about it when we finished, really, was, you know, breaking up that on-air marriage is what they call it. Because, I haven't really worked with her very much since then. We're still friends, but that was an enjoyable pairing. We'd get each other through the very early starts on a Saturday.
Well, exactly, yeah. And it worked. It's as simple as that. Cricket AM, I know we're going to keep on waxing lyrical about it, but it was just a very, very good show. I must admit, I miss it as well. I really do. Hopefully, we'll talk about bringing it back potentially in the future. But yeah, hopefully, Sky, if you're listening, bring it back. Do us all a favour.
Let's start a campaign, yeah.
As soon as this comes out, yeah, we'll start hashtag get it trending on Twitter. But Matt, looking back on your time at Cricket AM, what do you say was your real highlight? What do you say was your favourite moment or favourite occasion, per se, from your time on Cricket AM?
Wow, lots, really. Got to meet some incredible cricketers and celebrities on the show, which was amazing. You know, the likes of, we had Murali, we had Shane Warne, Courtney Walsh, so many really incredible legends of the game. Glenn McGrath, absolutely loads of them. Plus a few English players, you know, Freddie Flintoff and all sorts, really. I'd have to sort of really go back and have a think about who we got on. I can't think of anyone major who we didn't get on, really. We generally did pretty well. And then some interesting celebs as well, Stephen Fry and Esten Blumenthal and people like that. But probably the best thing that I did on that show was a feature that I shot, which essentially was, the idea of it was I would practice and practice and practice. I love playing the game. So anytime I got to hit a ball in front of a camera or for any kind of shoot, I obviously jumped at the opportunity. And the idea of this feature was that I'd sort of train all summer and try and get my skills up to a certain level, and then at the end of the summer I would play for Lashings Cricket Club, which is this celebrity cricket club that travels around the UK playing charity games, and they've got an all-star cast of ex-international players. And then the final part of this feature was I then go and play for Lashings against a club side in Sussex, I think it was. And so I got to play with Courtney Walsh, Devon Malcolm, Phil De Freitas, Ian Harvey, Saklane Mushtaq, all of these legends. And I got to bat with a couple of them and play with them. It was a fantastic day. We filmed it. That was the end of the feature. I think it was the end of the series. And then I got to have a few drinks in the changing room with them afterwards and listen to all their stories. It was a really magical day.
Wow. And that must have been an incredible experience. Really must have. I mean, you mentioned there. Yeah. Daffy, Phil De Freitas. I mean, what a hero. Absolute hero. Great, great cricketer.
Great guy. He was the captain of the side, actually.
Oh, right. Okay. And what did you get in terms of score-wise? You mentioned there you batted. Do you remember what you got on the day?
Oh, you know what? I think I got quite like an attractive 20 or so. A couple of nice cover drives in there. And then I got run out backing up. The striker hit the ball straight back onto the stumps via the bowler's hand, and I was out of my ground. So pretty unlucky to get out in that way, really.
Never an ideal way to get out.
Never.
Never.
Especially when the cameras are on as well. It's a bit more that ruins the feature.
Cool experience, though. Very, very cool experience. So, I mean, Aaron's kind of already alluded to it, but I guess the question is, could you ever see Cricket AM potentially making a return? Do you think there's anything that, or something that could ever happen?
I would love to say yes, but I think it's unlikely at the moment, just given the way that things are with Sky. You know, Sky kind of moved away from magazine shows over that era. There are still a few going. Soccer AM is still going, but generally the kind of shows that they will put on now will be ones that are easy to put on, just debate style shows, which cost less money and are generally just quite easy to watch. You can turn those into podcasts as well, should you like to. So I would say it's unlikely, but never say never. Maybe it will get revived somewhere else or online, something like that. But I think there's been a bit of a move away from those kind of shows in general.
Mm. Well, yeah, other than Soccer AM, that's been the long-standing one, hasn't it? It's still on to this day.
It's the only one really on Sky that's still going.
Probably the only one really on like
fell by the wayside.
British sports channels, I would say. There's really, I mean, BT do a couple for like Europa League and Champions League. They do a couple for that, but there's not really any aside from, it's not really that similar really to Soccer AM. So yeah, no. I'd say Soccer AM's now unique.
Yeah.
Agreed, yeah.
Absolutely. But Matt, you mentioned there about maybe, I agree with this. I mean, potentially reviving it online in some way, because we're looking at the new age of media per se, in particular in the cricket world. We're seeing lots of new media pop up. I mean, podcasting, for example, is something which has really, really taken off since 2020. Do you think there could be a potential for it to come back in an online sense, maybe with, I don't know, a CricBuzz, a CricInfo, for example? Do you think a company like that could revive Cricket AM?
Yeah, it's possible for sure. I just don't know what the licensing situation would be with that.
You can call it Cricket AM a bit.
Oh, no.
Maybe not, no, because obviously Cricket AM comes from Soccer AM and that is the Sky show. So, yeah, you might have to call it something else. But, yeah, there's room for a show that is fairly similar to that, if as long as you've got the backing behind it and you've got the finances to do it. It is quite expensive to do something like that. You know, every day we'd have a huge cast and crew for a live show, for an hour and a half show, lots of cameras. It was quite a big logistical and financial challenge. And nowadays, especially with the pandemic, companies aren't flush with money. So who knows? I would love to be involved in a show like that again in the future. So fingers crossed, eh?
Exactly. We keep our fingers crossed as well, Matt. I mean, obviously, I think it's pretty obvious by the way in which I've been talking today. I'd be in favour of it, of course, in any shape or form. I mean, it was great entertainment. It really was. But you mentioned there the challenges. What do you say was the toughest part of Cricket AM? What's the toughest thing for you personally as a presenter? Was there any real tough moments that you had in that career?
Yeah, it was always tough because I was a quite inexperienced presenter. So I was very much learning my trade while live on air. And there were a lot of things that I found difficult initially, especially with a show like Cricket AM, where you've got to pack a lot of different things into an hour and a half. You're constantly moving from one thing to the next. Lots of different features, lots of different interview bits. You had to ad lib a lot as well. Just when you were bantering with Sarah Jane, so I had to get used to ad-libbing. So it was actually really good in terms of being a training ground for a young presenter, but it was like in at the deep end. You know, I had to learn quite quickly. But once you've done it for a couple of years, you really kind of get in the swing of things and you know how it all works. So I used to, by the end of it, I used to really look forward to Cricket AM kind of more than anything else because it was so different to just doing a live game. You know, 90% of what I do or what I have done in my career has been live cricket, which I love doing, but that makes it even more refreshing when you have a small magazine show like that to do and you're used to doing it. So you know how it runs and you can do it almost with your eyes closed. That was the sweet spot for me was, you know, towards the end of Cricket AM when I could really sort of relax into it.
Nice. That's very, very nice to hear, Matt. Of course it is. And I suppose before we talk about the brand new podcast series that you got out, I mean, I've listened to the pilot with Danny Morrison. It's a fantastic episode, I have to admit. But what were you feeling on the day of the last ever Cricket AM recording? How bittersweet of a moment was that? Because obviously it was a great success. you've still got a cult following. I mean, obviously, I'm one of them. If you look on Twitter, for example, I think there's people sitting in your Twitter mentions mentioning Cricket AM and the impact that it had on them in those days. But how were you feeling on that day? Was that a really sad occasion for you personally as a presenter?
Yeah, still get the old Cricket AM mention and keep them coming, by the way. I'm always up for a Cricket AM chat on Twitter or wherever, so don't stop those. The last day, I don't remember too much about the last show, to be honest with you. I do remember being very sad when we finally went off air, and then a few of us all went to a pub in Twickenham, and I remember that. basically all the regulars on it, all the producer and APs and me and Sarah Jane, and a few of the technical crew and director and wives and girlfriends and husbands and boyfriends and that sort of thing. And I remember Jay Dernbach was on the last ever show, and he was the only one of the guests who came to the after party at the pub. I remember that, and he stayed on for quite a while. We had a few drinks. But yeah, it was quite emotional. It was quite sad that we weren't going to be working together again. I mean, some of those people I have worked with after Cricket AM doing live games, but some of them I haven't. It was just for that time, you know, that particular crew, some of the floor managers and camera operators and people like that, you know, you don't work with them again. So yeah, it is quite sad. But again, so many good times, and that's what I'm going to remember.
Exactly. And it's the exact same with us, isn't it? Yeah, some good times on Cricket AM. And of course, fingers crossed one day. Who knows? You never know what life has in store, do you? But yeah, it is a shame that it's gone. But as you said, Matt, great, great memories, fantastic show. And it will retain that following for many, many years to come. So I think that you yourself, Sarah as well, should be very, very proud of what you two did on Cricket AM. But of course, Matt.
Thank you, guys.
You do have a brand new podcast series. I just alluded to it there, All Out. So before we just go into a little bit deeper, where did the actual idea for that come from? Where did the idea for a brand new podcast series come from you personally?
Well, actually, the main reason I started it was because I hadn't been working really over the last few months very regularly, and I was pretty bored and wanted to do something meaningful. Plus, you know, sort of it would be good for me mentally to keep myself busy, because we've all been struggling over lockdown. And I just thought, well, you know, I might as well start using my contacts a bit more. And I've always wanted to just do something quite simple, really, which would be one-on-one, open and honest chats about cricket, but also about non-cricket stuff as well. Not be totally focused just on the game, but, you know, all the stuff around that, and try to sort of get to know people and get them to reveal a side to them, which they don't always do in your bog standard cricket interview. So, and also I find those kind of podcasts sometimes can be just a bit easier to listen to, just to, you know, very basic chat and not too long. So yeah, I just thought, well, why don't I just try and get someone every week and have a nice open, honest chat with them. Someone who's got something interesting to say and maybe an interesting backstory. So I know Danny Morrison pretty well. And I got him for the first episode of the series, which is called All Out. As you said there, All Out meaning letting it all out. You know, we'll try and be as open and honest as possible. And that's what Danny Morrison was in the first episode. Everyone knows him nowadays for being this madcap IPL commentator. And he is. He's pretty out there in his delivery. He's not everyone's cup of tea, but what he did really well in this chat was he basically sort of highlighted why he has this style of commentary and talked about the art of commentary and why he's so hammy and why he has these certain phrases and he speaks slowly. And a lot of it is to do with the Indian market. And he's like, well, I basically know my market, and they like their commentators to be a bit more like actors and a bit more personable. And I also speak with very few words, and I elongate my words so that they can understand, because not everyone in India speaks perfect English, which makes complete sense to me. And then he also talked about ball tampering, admitted that he ball tampered, and a lot of other people did in that era, which was fascinating. But the most interesting bit, I would say, was he really opened up about some personal tragedy that affected him. Unfortunately, his sister committed suicide a few years ago, and it really affected his own mental health. So we spoke in depth about that, really, and he opened up about it and how therapy had been very good for him, and he's kind of got himself back on track and, you know, dealing with that kind of a tragedy and not blaming yourself for it too much. So it was interesting to see that side to him, because he's such a jovial, interesting guy. But then for the last part of the interview, you know, he got quite serious and emotional, actually. He was tearing up. So that was the first one. That's out now. If you look up All Out on any podcast platforms, Google, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. And I'm hoping that I've done Brendan McCullum.
Ooh.
So that's going to be the second one. And I think probably Nasser Hussain will be the third. So that's three to start off with. There'll be another one coming out early next week. So make sure you go along and subscribe, please, and have a listen.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, obviously the Danny Morrison one, it was very eye-opening because he's almost this larger-than-life character, isn't he? Him on the IPL, he's so energetic, enthusiastic. I personally don't mind his commentary style, I'm going to be honest. I mean, I'm an RCB fan. So whenever AB de Villiers is batting, Danny Morrison kind of complements the energy that AB's batting with. But it was interesting trying to hear him peel back the layers almost and show some vulnerabilities. And it's something which I suppose not many people, myself included, would have really realised about his life. So it was a fascinating chat. I cannot recommend that enough. For anyone listening out there, please do go and listen to that episode. And of course, I'll be tuning in for Brendan McCullum's one, because he famously scored 158 not out for us against Derbyshire in 2015. And of course, scored 158 not out against my team, RCB, in 2008 in the first ever IPL game at the Chinaswamy. That should be an interesting one. Oh, of course, yeah. Yeah, for anyone who doesn't know, cricket badger. But yes, Matt, I suppose just before we end today's podcast, one final thing that we have to do, because we are just 6 days away, we alluded to it earlier, 8th of April, the 2021 County Championship season finally gets up. I think we're all anticipating an excellent, excellent season. Who do you think on paper is going to win the 2021 County Championship?
Oh, tell you what, I think I'd be quite boring actually on this. And I will say, I still think the top two sides from last year are going to be very hard to beat. So the two sides that played in the Bob Willis Trophy final, Essex have just got such a good dynamic and they're so settled as a side. Everyone knows their roles. I think they're a happy camp. They've got some very good players in there. So you've got, you know, Dan Lawrence is obviously going to come back hungry and wanting to impress, because now he's had a taste of Test cricket. He's going to want to get back in that side or secure his place in the side for the summer and then maybe going into the Ashes. So it's a big summer for him coming up. You've got Alistair Cook, who, as we saw in the Bob Willis Trophy final last year, is still on another level to any other county batsman. I mean, that was an extraordinary innings of 170-odd, wasn't it, out of 300-odd. In the final. So he's still going. They've got, you know, plenty of experience as well. Tendiscarter is still there. He's older than me, Tendiscarter. And they've got a very good bowling attack with Porter and Cook, who are both very good seamers. And I believe Harmer is still around, isn't he, as an overseas player. So he's the best spinner in the game in county cricket. So Essex is going to be very hard to beat. But if anyone can dislodge them, it will be Somerset. Because Somerset have an outstanding seam attack.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, in April and May, the ball does a bit in this country. And coming up against that seam attack is going to be tough for any batting unit. You know, Craig Overton, who I think will, again, play a lot of county cricket. I'm not sure how much test cricket he's going to play this summer. So he'll be keen to impress. You know, Jack Brooks is still going. Lewis Gregory. And who's the other one? Josh Davey. So it's a four-pronged right-arm seam attack. Plus, they've got Jack Leach if it starts to turn. So they're covered.
And Marshall DeLanga as well.
Hmm.
DeLanga, yeah, right. So yeah. DeLanga, they don't really need him, to be honest with you. But
it's selfish, isn't it?
Some raw pace now. So they've got plenty of options. And also, I think one guy you should look out for with them is Tom Lamondy, who's a very exciting young left-handed batsman. He got 100 again in the Bob Willis Trophy final. Got a brilliant 100 as well against Worcestershire earlier on in the year. I think this guy could play for England in the next couple of years. Really exciting player. And he plays all formats too.
Mm-hmm. He has a different role, doesn't he, between formats. He's more of an all-rounder in limited overs, isn't he? Middle order bat.
Yeah, bowls a bit of left arm, yeah.
I agree, Matt. He is a fantastic, fantastic talent. And fingers crossed he has a good season again. Because as you said, he'll be knocking down the door a few years later, potentially a three lines call up. Who knows? for Tom Lammerby, but he's definitely a very, very exciting talent. So, of course, you're going with Essex and then slash Somerset if Essex don't win, as your prediction.
I think so. But it won't be as simple as that. And obviously, we've got a lot more games than last year. So I think it'll be interesting also to see what kind of sides the counties play. A lot of young guys got given a go last year because it was a truncated season. What will happen this year? Will they continue going down that path, or will we see some more of the experienced guys brought back?
That's an interesting one, isn't it? And I suppose, I know it's cliche, but only time will tell, won't it? We'll have to find out 6 days' time. Of course, our season opener against Derbyshire. I can't wait for that personally. But yeah, it should be a fantastic season. And yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Can Essex defend the title? Can Somerset win their first ever county championship title? Will someone else surprise us? Will we see a team go surging to the top? Who knows? And that is the beauty of county cricket and the county championship as a tournament. But we will, of course, find out in due course. But Matt, I think that's a fantastic way to end today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. So before we say our goodbyes, do you just have anything to plug or promote? Any social media channels, for example?
Yes, you could follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Matt K. Floyd. So that's MattKFloyd. And on there, I will post updates in terms of the podcast. I'll put little videos up soon of Brendan McCullum. And then the episodes after that, I'll keep you updated as to when I'm going to publish everything. So yeah, follow me on Twitter and Instagram, and please do subscribe to the podcast.
Well, absolutely. And of course, Matt, we'll leave the links to those, obviously, in the description in our podcast. Do go and check Matt out. And of course, check all out the brand new podcast series as well. But Matt, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure talking all things county cricket, Cricket AM. Of course, it has been an excellent podcast. And thank you very much for taking the time. We really do appreciate it here at TCCP.
Absolute pleasure, guys. Loved it.
Oh, that's good to hear, Matt. But of course, that does bring us to an end to today's episode of the County Cricket Podcast. To all of the listeners out there, thank you very much for tuning in. And as always, guys, we'll see you on the next one.